All right. Good morning. Thank you for waking up so early, and thank you for taking this morning, joining me on the advanced OSD topic. In this session, I kind of expect that you are very familiar with either MDT, LightTouch, or Config Manager, or a good combination of both. So how many in here are actually on the Config Manager platform today? A good few of you, about 60%. Anyone doing LightTouch? A few of you. The cool thing about this session is I'm going to mix back and forth between LightTouch and Config Manager stuff. But everything I do can be done in both platforms. So rather than doing just one of them, I mix and match in both. Now, I love questions. And that means that there is a session hashtag. I have it right here. Well, you can ask questions. And if you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. I'm monitoring that on my laptop over here. And insanely good questions might be rewarded with a book. You never know. So you can also just yell out a question if you like as well during my talk. I don't mind. I'm going to repeat it, though, for the recording. But otherwise, I will answer it. So this is me on a good day. This is where I live. Well, not on the beach, but not too far from it. The green button is where I work. The stuff in the bottom is where you can find me, my Twitter alias, my email, my blog. Via Monstra is my demo environment. It's a company me and a few friends invented to have like our own Contoso, but ours. So it's actually Latin. It comes from Via Monstra and it means show me the way, and we thought it was cool. So Via Monstra it is, and the domain was available, so we were happy. When I'm not speaking at TechEds, my main work is a consultant, so this is basically my spare time. I write books, I travel the globe helping customers implement Config Manager and MDT solutions, and I'm here to share with you customization tips and tricks that you can do for OSD. Don't hesitate to contact me after the session if you have any questions as well. I've been doing this for a long time now. I started when I was 16 doing OSD, and that was 25 years ago. And that means two things, obviously. One, I'm old. And two, I might not have seen everything when it comes to deployment, but I've seen a lot. So rather than you guys spending hours, days, weeks troubleshooting something, send me an email, contact me on Twitter, whatever. I'm pretty good in responding quickly, or quite quickly, I should say. Throughout the day, I'm using a demo environment here on stage, a bunch of VMs. They are available for download as well, if you want to try the same stuff out with the same sample scripts and whatnot. So for example, on my blog, which I have over here, deploymentresearch.com. If you click research, this is where I post most of my blogs, or if not all of them. But the very latest blog post is the session and samples files from TechEd, which is being organized into the various sessions we have. And there you find the samples files and script. And if you want to download the demo environment, you simply search for the keyword hydration. It will give you a bunch of posts, but the one that is probably most interesting to you is the one that builds a complete system center lab. So you can select whether to build the following VMs. And the one I'm going to use today in this session is the domain controller, the config manager server, the MDT server, and the orchestrator server, and a bunch of clients. But you decide how many VMs you want to build. It's just a script that you download, copy the installation files, and then you hydrate up the VMs. I've been testing this in both Hyper-V and VMware, but it's very likely to work on other virtualization platforms as well. It's just a bootable ISO. That's all it is. You start a VM on it, and you select what it should become, and then you have that machine. And as always, I do recommend starting with the domain controller, since all the other VMs is going to try to join that domain by default. So it helps to have an Active Directory up and running when you do that. So why MDT in the first place? Well, for folks that doesn't have Config Manager, it's about your only option. It's the only deployment solution that Microsoft provides for deployment, for deploying Windows. Microsoft has a bunch of other tools, sure, but they are not deployment solutions, and there is the difference. I mean, there are tools like ADK, there are tools like Windows Deployment Services, there are tools like DISM, ImageX, and all that. They are just plumbing. They are not solutions. A solution does the end-to-end deployment. Not only the Windows Core OS, but it also deals with drivers, with applications, with updates, with configurations, policies, etc. that you set during deployment. It takes care of everything. And currently, Microsoft only have two offerings that does that, Config Manager and MDT 2013. Now, the names here are a bit confusing. Light Touch and Zero Touch. I wished, really, Microsoft would have used different names. Because, one, there is a marketing term. Two, there is a technical side of things. But Light Touch is just the name of the standalone solution. It's the same download. Zero Touch is the extensions to Config Manager, adding almost 300 additional features, enhancements, on top of the Config Manager OSD platform. And I have met many customers over the years having Config Manager, not wanting to implement MDT on top of it. But I have not failed yet convincing them after showing what's actually in that package. Because the likeliness that you are going to like one or more of these three, almost 300 features, is very high. And it's better, I think, to use something that is well-tested, well-proven, supported, downloaded like 700,000 times around the globe, then start to reinvent something from scratch yourself. And not only this, MDT comes with a development framework. You will find hundreds of ready-made code snippets that you can steal and use in your own scripts. So for example, if you want to call a web service, or call a database, call something, do something, copy a file, copy a folder, edit any file, there are already snippets to do that. So you just call them instead of writing 100, 200, 300 lines of code when it's already in there. It also includes a pretty good error logging or error handling as well that you can simply tap into in your own scripts. So you get like 90% done, and you only have to worry about the last 10%. So that's why I recommend using MDT there. So, a few samples. One of the coolest thing around MDT, what it adds, one of the 280 to be exact features, because I was given the task once to count them, and I did in an Excel spreadsheet, and it turns out to be 280 lines in it. So. 280 it is. But one of those is the OSD simulation. The ability to test the setup without having to wait an hour for a client to be complete. Because when you have MDT, either if it's Light Touch or if it's Config Manager, you obviously have a bunch of sequences. So I will open up my MDT server here. Ooh, the Dart question. What about including Dart into the boot image? I'll come to that in a minute, but that was a really good question. Now, in MDT, you obviously have sequences. So this is my Windows 7 sequence I'm using for base production deployments. The settings in a sequence, you cannot really see unless you actually start the deployment. But when you have the integration, you can feed instructions to a sequence through a very simple text file. So let me show one of those text files for you. If I can type, I can show it to you. Here we go. So, if I have this text file, what do you think it will do with a config manager sequence? Or all the sequences, in fact, in config manager using this text file or this settings package? Well, for once, it will, for all the machines that are not specified implicitly or explicitly, it will set the screen resolution to 1x1. And if you think Windows Setup will be happy of you setting a 1x1 screen resolution, you're wrong. Setup won't like it one bit. Setup will think that you are absolutely out of your mind, and Setup will go ahead and, never mind that admin, I'll go ask the video card myself. So it will ask and get the recommended solution from the graphics card instead of the 1024x768 that is default now in both Config Manager and MDT LightTouch. But sometimes you really want a specific resolution for a specific model. So that's why I added in the model priority here. The priority lines in the rules is just what order to read the sections in the event we have a conflict. And the way it works in LightTouch is that, and Config Manager, is that most values, not all, but most, the first writer wins. So that means the priority is more important. Meaning, if I have model coming before default, and I have a specific model with a specific resolution, that one will be the one that wins. Because it's first in priority, highest priority, and will be set first. In this example, I'm also installing a Bluetooth application if it's that model. And if it's an 8540, I install the HP hotkeys. If I wanted to do the same thing with LightTouch, easy as pie, I can't use packages, obviously, because that's a config manager thing. But I would have to use applications 001 or even mandatory applications 001 I can do as well. And then the not so fun part, the GUID of the app. Config manager is easy. I ask the package ID and the program name. But in LightTouch, you need a GUID. And you can either remember your GUIDs. That's one option. Or you can go into your applications that you have. Yeah, why not this one? And just copy and paste the GUID. And paste it into the inner file. Now, if I only have like one, I could probably remember that this is an HP app. But what if you have 5, 10? You can actually add comments in here, but whatever you do, don't add comments after the line. That will break the inner file. Put them on a separate line. Spaces are fine too, no worries, but you get the deal. If you want to have a comment, just add it in, and it becomes easy. As I mentioned, how many of you attended my session yesterday for Config Manager? A few of you, all right. I mentioned in that session there is a reason I use packages in Config Manager, and of course that packages works beautifully in a Config Manager sequence. Applications are not yet reliable in a Config Manager sequence. And in LightTouch we only have apps and they are reliable, so life is good. Other things you can do in LightTouch is very easily customize the deployment. So if I start a deployment here, I find a client, have one here, mount it on an ISO or Pixaboot, whatever you prefer. Okay, not enough memory. Would think that 32 gig RAM on a laptop would do, but I dedicated about 16 to Config Manager gigs, so try again. Media, inject, here we go. It's coming. Shortly. Here we go. So now I'm starting up a normal deployment, and when you work with LightTouch by default, we come in back to the name I was talking about before, the LightTouch name and the ZeroTouch name. Light Touch by default has a wizard. That's why it's named Light Touch. But you can automate that 100%, fully automated, making Light Touch become Zero Touch for MDT Light Touch. Config Manager, on the other hand, is fully automated by default, meaning Zero Touch by default. But you can add a wizard to Config Manager and make it Light Touch. So someone actually have to type in, for example, a computer name, select an OU, select a few apps, and then go. It's just a default behavior. Light Touch has a wizard by default, Config Manager doesn't, but you can just flip them back and forth. So hopefully my client started. I will log in to this client or start the deployment, and I need credentials. I could automate that as well, but I think it makes sense to at least require a password before you kick off a deployment of a machine. Now, this wizard, if I select my, for example, my Windows 7 sequence, because let's face it, most of you are still deploying Windows 7, I will be very surprised if everybody in this room were 100% Windows 8.1. I think most are still on Windows 7. Anyway, I click Next. I type in a computer name, 45, and I start my deployment. This wizard is controlled by that ini file on the server. So, if I go back to my server, check my ini file, the reason I got a few questions was because I had configured it to ask me for a computer name and to ask me for a sequence. I could have automated that as well, obviously, but it's quite easy to add. What I also enabled in here is monitoring, meaning in a good day, I will see my running deployment. I can tap into it, get more information, and if I add it in, and that's back to the question I got, Dart, I can actually remote into it from my workstation or from the server directly. I mean, this is still in WinP, but I can still interact with it. And this is the same for Config Manager. And the question that is indeed worth a book if the person is here. Twitter is sort of a more global thing, but let's see. Please don't shoot me for the pronunciation, but Hackershi? Hacker? Over there? Ah, awesome. This one is for you, sir. I just hope don't the feedback from the speakers is kicking in. You, sir? Excellent. So the question was, how do you add it? How do you get this one to work? I mean, it's a cool feature. If you ever tried on the phone convincing someone to open up a command prompt to do netuse and find log files for you, you really appreciate having the ability to remote into a machine that you deploy in a remote city in a remote country. So I will just kill this one off for now. Stop the deployment. So here we go. Because I need my other VM as well. All right. In Light Touch, it's quite easy. You right-click your deployment share, you go Properties, you go to the WinP tab, you find the correct architecture, you click Features, and you select Dart. But I'm pretty confident that most of you won't have Dart in here, because it's not in by default. And Dart is connected to a license. You need to have MDOP, meaning you need to have software assurance. And MDOP is an additional, I don't know how much, but a cost on top of the normal software assurance. But included in MDOP is Dart. And that's where you get the remote capability from. The monitoring you can do anyway. It's not connected to MDOP at all. But the remoting into WinP is. And that's what you need to have it. So how do you do for Config Manager? I mean, this was Light Touch. Well, you need to go to the Config Manager server. You need to create, when you create your boot image, and let me just create one real quick for you. Dart test. Platform, and in Config Manager and in Light Touch these days, don't even bother about configuring the scratch space. Just don't. Why? WinP5 now is dynamic in terms of scratch space. WinP4 wasn't, but WinP5 is. And MDT 2013 and Config Manager R2 is using WinP5. Now, if you have 1 gig or more in memory, it will set it to 512. The only time it will honor what you set here is if you have less than a gig of RAM in the box. And please, ladies and gentlemen, if you do, don't deploy Windows to it. Deploy something else, but not Windows. So it will always be 512. But next in the wizard, I get select components. And again here, I have Dart. So how did I get it here? Because if you would go back home and do this, most of you would probably not have this option here. So how come I have and you don't? Because I'm a TechEd speaker? No, because I installed Dart on the box. And I did some magic copying. In LightTouch, I copied the cab files from Dart into the deployment share. But in Config Manager, I simply copy them to the installation directory, templates, distribution tools, and the architecture. Because in the installation directory for Dart, which I have here, there are 2 cab files. And you simply need to copy each of them into the correct architecture folder. And once you have copied those files, MDT and the wizard will pick them up, and they are available for selection. So install Dart, copy the cab files, create a new boot image, done. Nice and easy. Okay. Other things that are cool in LightTouch is that the wizard is just an HDA, really. XML files and HDAs, meaning text files, meaning you can very easily customize those. You can actually also take the LightTouch wizard, and I will show you an example later, and customize it to fit Config Manager. So you can combine those two as well. It's not very common, but at least it's an option for you to do. If you go back to the Config Manager side of things, what MDT adds, in addition to creating cool boot images, is that it can create cool sequences. The same wizard here will create a big sequence. And as I mentioned in my session yesterday, just as in LightTouch, you can easily create templates for your sequences. But just exporting the XML file and copy it to the templates folder in MDT. For LightTouch, it's quite easy because it is in the templates folder. But where do you copy templates for Config Manager? And how do you export them? What happens if you have a superior sequence in Config Manager? You've been working 3 weeks on it. It's the best you have done ever. And you want to export it and have it as a template. How do you do that? Well, right-click, you export, and you end up with a zip file. If you traverse and unpack that zip file, you eventually actually see the XML object, but it's easier than that. The cool thing about both LightTouch and Config Manager is it's PowerShell all over. I will give you an example. In LightTouch, if I do something in the console, I will create a folder, TechEd. In the end of that wizard, there will be a view script button that will show me the PowerShell command to do exactly the same thing, what I did in the UI. Config Manager, however, doesn't have this feature, but Config Manager has almost 600 ready-made commandlets that will allow you to do stuff in PowerShell that you can do in the console. And in fact, you can do even more in PowerShell than you can do in the console. Config Manager does most stuff through WMI, and of these 600 commandlets, most of them actually work, but there are some that still doesn't. But the one that doesn't, you can still have the feature done by calling it through WMI instead. And that's exactly what I'm using for exporting sequences. So I'm going to empty folder here. Exported sequences, and you can clearly see there is nothing in it. But if I open up ICE here and go to a script, calling WMI, calling the SMS sequence package, package class, and just dump them out. I'm just exporting my sequences now. And now I have them here. And if anyone in this room had tried to do a manual export in the UI in the console of 10, 12 sequences, this was faster. My record so far is 3 hours export for a single sequence in Config Manager through the console, because it does validation for all packages. And if you have hundreds of packages, that will take some time. But this is core through WMI and just an export real quick. So if you want to, of course, you can open this up in Notepad and review the settings in it. A little bit more readable in an XML viewer or even in IE. It's more easy to see. But in here, for example, you can see the default values that the sequence is doing for the retries. And some of you that upgraded to R2, you quickly realized that the default values that were in were not good enough. They had to be bumped up a little bit after the R2 upgrade. This is where you find that the sequence cannot locate packages quick enough or find the management point quick enough after reboot, for example. So you typically crank the time up to maybe 15 and the retry count to maybe 5, just to give some extra time for it. Not everybody needs that, of course, but it's a nice feature. And I rather simply added this template and save it, because then I can do the magic. Then I can simply take that export and I can copy that to this folder here. Because then, when I create a new sequence, I can select a template. So in here I have the best template ever, my happy template. It's a custom template I created from an export. And I can simply, when I create a new sequence, I can select my happy template. You can also create new sequences in PowerShell, obviously. And yes, all these scripts are available for download on the blog, or at least links to them on the blog. But first of all, there is a native commandlet in Config Manager that creates sequences. It's named new sequence, obviously. So I will define a path to my modules. That's something you need to do. I need to set some variables for my sequence, like passwords and site codes and whatnot. I decide what image to use, what boot image to use, what config manager client package to use. And then I simply run this one, and it will create a TechEd Windows 8 sequence. And just to make sure, before I run this, I have now 10 sequences. None is named TechEd. I run this, and wait, and go back, refresh, and I have 11, one that is named TechEd. Now, the problem is this an integrated sequence? Is this one with all the cool MDT stuff in it? No. This is a native sequence. There is no way with the built-in commandlets to create an MDT integrated sequence. It simply doesn't understand it. However, again, WMI. There is an import sequence script you can create, put together by, well, he used to be a German guy, he's now in Australia, David O'Brien. Really nice script. So if I open up a command prompt here, PowerShell prompt here, I can simply create, I can run it interactively so you can actually see it. So the script is import sequence. I specify my site code. I specify the sequence name, so I can do MDT sequence for TACAD. And I simply specify one of the files I previously exported. And I will do my Windows 8.1, which is the one ending with F. So I run this quite quick. I go back to the console, hit refresh. I now have 11. I should get 12. I now have 12. One is named MDT for TACAD. If I do an edit, you can clearly see it's a complete MDT sequence for Config Manager. Now, the cool thing about exporting stuff, both in LightTouch and Config Manager, is that you have the ability to connect this to something called Event Handler. Config Manager has events for everything you do in the console and other stuff as well. And there is a German fellow, his name is Mike Koster. He's been around in the Mighty Forum community for a long time. He wrote an event handler for the sequence, meaning it's being called every time you edit the sequence. And when you connect that handler to this script, the export script, it will export the sequence into an XML file every time you make a change and add a version number to it. So if you do 5 edits of a sequence, what you will end up in having is 5 versions of this XML file. So if someone in your team, absolutely not you, but somebody else in the team, destroys a sequence by doing some bad edits for you, you can very easily go back a version since you have all the exported files and you just saw me create a new sequence from one exported file. Dead easy to keep versioning. Something that Config Manager really doesn't have in that sense in terms of sequences. I think it's easier to have it this way. And if I have a lab environment, which you should have, copy and paste and import. And life is good. Very easy. Other things you will see in the Config Manager sequence is that when you add things, and you have the integration, you do get additional functions. The most commonly used ones that I think are really valuable is, of course, the gather action that is reading the init file. It's the install roles and features. In LightTouch, all works. In Config Manager, everything or all features but one work. So which role is it that you cannot add to a Config Manager sequence? The IPv role. It breaks the sequence because it kicks off a second reboot in the middle and doesn't tell Config Manager. But for LightTouch, it works. But all other works happily in Config Manager. This one is also quite useful. Run a PowerShell script directly. I typically, though, just use a normal run command line if I want to run the PowerShell script because I often copy the script locally. I often set the policy the way I like, and then I reverted it back to the original setting it was before. In here, I've added in something that is useful for Windows 8 deployments, but not for Windows 7 deployments, at least not required for Windows 7 deployments. What does it do, this setting? It adds a final reboot after the sequence completes. For Windows 8, it avoids a bug or works around a bug where the group policy is not really up to date or you try to log in and you get an error and then you can just log in again and it works. And it only happens like every third machine or so that you deploy. But still, it's not nice and it's quite annoying. So if you go to the Config Manager team blog site, you can actually see there is a blog post stating this is the official workaround for that specific bug if you get an error when logging in the first time. But this one also triggers group policy because Config Manager sequences by default will suppress policy processing. But when you do a final reboot like this, you will see policies kick in directly. And that could be useful if you have, say, a startup script that verifies the Config Manager client agent or whatever startup script you are using. It could be nice to have that as a group policy. How would you do this with LightTouch? Well, first of all, you don't have to. because light touch does not suppress policy processing. And light touch does not have, normally, the config manual client agent in it, even though you can add it. So you don't need this. But if you want to do the same thing in light touch, what you have to do is open that .ini file again, and you simply add a finish action. I can't type today either. Like this, telling light touch to, once you've done with your sequence stuff, please go ahead and reboot. This could be useful for another thing, because light touch by default, when it deploys a machine, it leaves it logged in as an admin, and it's not really nice, is it? I'd rather have a reboot so someone actually have to log on to the box to do stuff. It's just a security feature as well. However, this is an advanced session, and in an advanced session, you do more stuff than the basic configurations, and you run scripts, you connect databases, and whatnot. When you run sequences in light touch, if I start a deployment on the client I just saved, give me a second. It's coming. It's a Wednesday morning. I'm stealing the other one instead. It's quicker. What can possibly go wrong in a live demo? Please wait. Another question. How perfect timing. How to clean or compress a reference image before using it in production? Well, for that question, we need a bunny, a rabbit. And the keyword, like a boss. If you search my blog for like a boss, and wait patiently, you will find a post saying how to build a reference image like a boss. And in here, you'll find some tips and tricks. But for example, you'll find a link to the deploymentbunny.com website. And I'm not kidding, it's really named like that. It's Michael Nystrom, a good friend of mine. He put together a script that cleans out updates and other stuff from the reference image, efficiently, typically, chunking it down with a gig or so in size. And a gig in size in a 5 gig image, that's 20%. That's pretty good shrinking. And that's for both config mount and light touch images, obviously. But that was basically the answer to that question. So who is Yo, or Yo at Yo SCCM? Over there, awesome. And yes, they are assigned. Welcome. Look very Norwegian, don't you? Yes. I recognize you. Seen you before. In class. All right. Let's see if my machine actually logged in here. It did. So let me start the light touch deployment. I'm not actually going to do a deployment because this is my developer machine with Visual Studio on it. So it would sort of break my future demos if I would complete the deployment of it. But the deal is, in light touch, when you do deployments, even if you are in running Windows right now, you can still interact with everything. If you have a script you would like to test, you can do it right now when you start a sequence. You can add a pause to it, and you can run it over and over until you nail that script. But what if you have a config manager agent and you want to test your scripts? You have a config manager sequence. Well, let me go to a config manager client. A Windows 7 one. And let me start another sequence. While this one is running, I will show it to you. The config manager sequence doesn't allow you to do stuff while it's running. It simply prevents you from doing that in Windows. While you are in WinP, you can run your scripts as many times as you like. Just F8, get a command prompt, and you can run it. But in Windows, you can't do that. Even if you get a command prompt in Windows open, you can't access the sequence engine. You'll get an access denied. Try to query a variable. It comes empty back. But what I did here, I took the service UI component from MDT and simply used it to launch a normal command prompt. That's all I did. These are default MDT packages. This is my settings package. And this is just a run command line kicking off service UI with this cmd.exe. Could I change this to PowerShell? Sure you can. So if I go back to my client, I should now have a command prompt, which is yellow, like command prompts are. And if I do a who am I, I'm system. I'm the sequence. If I go to my demo folder, I have a VB script that will enumerate all the settings I'm currently having in my sequence. It's a massive VB script. It's about 7 lines. But you can clearly see I'm accessing the com object that the sequence is. And then I'm just enumerating through all the variables. So now I can run that. And it will dump all the settings I have right now. So if you have scripts that are using settings that your sequence have, you can now run them over and over and over. Edit, change, try again, until you nail them. Because otherwise, what you have to do is you have your script in a package. You have a sequence that runs the script. You deploy it. You try it. It failed. Here you go back to your notepad, change the script. You update the package. You wait for the policy. Go to the sequence. You wait for that one to refresh. And then you can try again. So it takes like 5-10 minutes for every single try. Now you can just run it over and over again. I also have a PowerShell script here I'm commonly using for wrappers. It's just a really small PowerShell script, but you can see I'm doing the exact same thing in the beginning. I'm connecting to this SMS sequence com object. And I'm querying, in this case, some values. I'm just trying to figure out, OK, where is config manager currently storing its log files? And then I'm using that to start this transcript. And then, since this is a wrapper, this is where I put my main code. And then I would stop the transcript. So, of course, I can run this as well. Not there, but in the yellow one. So I can run a PowerShell, F, and the file. And you can see now even PowerShell does have access to these objects, because this is the path for the log files currently. Again, edit, changed, try again until you nail it. Simply saving a lot of time. When working with scripts. When you exit, though, don't click this one up here. Do a graceful exit. Otherwise, it thinks it did fail for you and will give you an error code. Now you get an installation complete, even though I didn't do anything. All right. So that those are some cool extensions that MDT adds to Config Manager and LightTouch as well, of course. Now, I was promised a timer on stage, but they didn't give me one, so keep track of my time myself. Now, the rules engine that you saw is based on a bunch of scripts in the back end, but it's very easy to extend this. By default, I just open up the ini file directly before, and I show you the model information. But if you want to have this ini file reach out into other scripts, other databases, other web services, it's very easy to do so. So, as an example, how about doing some default gateway changes? Something that you would do on a per subnet basis. This is a very simplistic command file, ini file. What will it configure MDT to do? What will it configure config manager to do? Well, depending on subnet or site, it will simply configure different keyboards. I have met customers spending days writing scripts to make this happen, instead of just downloading the ready-made MDT script and have a simple text file. Do this. And as always, I mentioned the simulation before. If I want to test this, probably need to update my default gateway though. This is my gateway right now. So if it's this gateway, I'm in the Barcelona. And I have no idea what the Spanish keyboard locale is, so I stick with the US for Barcelona for now. But the deal is I can open up a PowerShell prompt and I can test this out. So again, sorry? Ah, thank you guys. I could have said it was part of the plan, but it wasn't. But the cool thing about the simulation I was about to start, it will tell me when I do a typo in the ini file in 5 seconds, instead of having to wait an hour to realize, ah, forgot to change the section name. But thank you guys. I saved some worry there. Go into the folder. And yes, run gather default gateway. Where are you, my friend? I didn't have one for gather custom settings default gateway. All right, let me do some naming here. So I'm running through a simulation now, testing my deployment. What if I would have deployed this machine? Yeah, it would detect that I'm indeed belonging to this gateway and I should have this keyboard. MDT finds out a lot of stuff for both LightTouch and Config Manager. For example, the following information: serial number, model, memory, laptop, not UEFI, not on battery. And everything it finds you can use as rules in this ini file. I was using default gateway, and as you can see, it did figure out that for one of my network adapters, the default gateway was indeed that one. And because that's my default gateway, I got the correct keyboard. What if you have multiple language packs? What if you have 4 or 5 language packs in your reference image and you capture it before it was deleted? So you have 5 language packs in it and you want to select between them. Well, obviously you can do that through group policy and other stuff, but UI language and whatever language it was. Easy as that. There are so many ready-made functions that you can tap into and steal from without having to write lines and lines and lines of code. All right. This is another example. I'm detecting if it's a virtual machine. And if it is a virtual machine, I will upgrade my Hyper-V integration services. I'll call a package that will do that for me, or a wrapper that will do that for me. Can do the VM platform instead, and then I can detect if it was a Microsoft virtual platform or if it was another virtual platform on the system and do things according to that. So, for example, install the VMware tools if I wanted to, if it detects that. But again, this is dynamic deployment, and that's also another feature that MDT adds, the ability to have a set of rules that will control the behavior of your sequences. And again, every sequence that is using that package. All right. Now, it's very easy to add in another database. For those of you that are using LightTouch, go ahead and just use the normal SQL Express. But please note that when you install SQL Express, even if you say default instance in the setup, it's not really a default instance, is it? It's a SQL Express instance, which means you need to also make sure the browser service is installed and running. And you need to open up the firewall for the browser service. The setup will open up for SQL itself, fine, but not for the browser service. And the port for the browser service is 1434 UDP, in addition to the normal 1433 TCP. So for those of you running Config Manager, you simply use the Config Manager database for this. It's included in the license you get with Config Manager to use the same instance for MDT. And do not worry about performance. This database is going to be maximum 300-400 megs. It's a 10-table database that is being read or used when you do a deployment. The Config Manager database is like 40 gigs, and it's used every single time. So if you do a profile and compare them, you will see like the MDT is using like 0.1%, and Config Manager is using the rest. So don't worry about running them on the same machine. But how do we call a web service, a database? Well, first of all, we need to have one. And when you install MDT on the site server or wherever you install MDT on, it doesn't have to be on the site server. It just needs to be installed where you have the console. But in the workbench, once you typically open it up and you create a new database, because it's very easy to do from here. So once you do that, go into SQL management, you obviously have a database with a bunch of tables. This is the MDT database. In the workbench, you can now add in, for example, computers. You can create roles. You can create location settings. You can do make and model settings, whatnot. But in here, I have added in a machine named PC81. It's configured that if I'm having this MAC address specifically, it will go ahead and set the name to PC81. So if I go back to my demo environment here, and I hope it's this one. Yep, that's the one. And run a simulation again. It will now contact the database instead. And the reason it does this is because in the init file, I added in instructions to go ahead and contact the database. Contact that database server, that database name, using that protocol, and querying that table, which is not a table, it's a view in the database. But it's a table anyway, but it's a view. And when I run this simulation, I can see that it will open up the log file shortly. If I search for MAC address, you can see it found that my MAC address was the same MAC address that I have in my database, if you remembered from my previous screen. And then you will actually see it's going to build a select query here about to assign issue SQL statement select star from computer settings where blah, 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 MAC address in this MAC address. And as you see down here, it will get one record back, and it will set the computer name to PC81. Simple as that. What if I wanted to assign applications, settings? Well, you can do that as well. can go back to my database here. I can define a few roles. I have one for marketing here defined. And if you belong to marketing, you are supposed to have a marketing OU, obviously, or be put in that OU when you deploy it. Or you should possibly have the following config manager packages, or possibly the following light touch applications. And please don't use config manager apps because they don't work as they should in a sequence, again, but light touch will. So cancel, and I simply take that machine and I will connect it to one or more roles. So I will make this machine a marketing computer. Go back to my simulation again, run the tests here. And yes, that script is also available for download on my blog. Search for simulation, you'll find it. But you can now see that if you start from the top here and start to search for select, and if you type select correctly, you can see that it did find the computer name again, check. But it also now queried, this machine, did it have any roles? Oh yeah, it had one role, check. They use marketing. And now it's search. Does that role had any packages? Oh yeah, it did. Life is good. So if you drill down now, where did you go, my friend? Ah, packages. I had them right here. Yeah. Reader, I saw them flashing by. Here we go. You can see that if you would have deployed this sequence, it would have installed those applications, which in turn are packages. And it's much more easy to have a role defining a list of apps that you easily can change. And then you connect that role, or rather group of settings, to one or many machines that you have, instead of doing it on a per machine basis. I mean, computer names are fine to have on a computer object, but I would never add applications on a computer object unless I really, really have to. I'd rather keep 4, 5, 10 lists that I simply assign to different computers. Another cool thing about this database is that you can extend it. You can create additional tables, you can do additional views, and the best thing is you are allowed to. You are supported to, because you are in a separate database. You are not in Config Manager. You are not even allowed to touch Config Manager databases, or change them at least, but this one you can do. You can also create stored procedures that will do things. As an example, I'm going to show you two ways of extending the database. One, by adding a few tables to it, fields to it, to a table. So in here, in my settings table, which is part of the settings view, or computer settings view, in the end, I have added apparently you have to press the right number on the scaler. Check. Thank you, guys. What I did, I was open up Management Studio, and I was selecting the settings table here. And I right-clicked and did design. And that ended up in here. So as you can see, I have added in two fields that are not present by default. But the best thing is, when I do, and open up a machine or a role or whatever, and drill down here, I will have those. And I can add information to them. So I can type in Barcelona, and well, I'm the manager, so that's me. The point is, when you do this the first time, you'll think this is uber cool. Adding additional tables, they're immediately available here, and then you try a deployment, and you get nothing back. That's the default behavior. You will see them here, you can add stuff to them, but you don't get any data from them. Why is that? in my ini file, did I query this table directly or did I query a view? I queried a view. And a view connected to a table in the way MDT does it needs to be refreshed. So you need to run this command. The refresh view store procedure and the view in question. Then it will be accessible. So once you do that, you can go back to the client again, your test environment over here. Run the simulation one more time. And with any luck, I should see added new custom property, and it actually set those to Barcelona and me as the manager. And everything that you set here can be used by the sequence. You can now have apps in the sequence or packages in the sequence that will detect, all right, you are part of this department, you're supposed to have this list of apps or a specific setting, whatever. But it's just nice ways to extend the table. Another thing I use the database for is to generate computer names. I mean, to me, a really good computer name looks like this. This is my opinion of a good computer name. It's 15 characters or less. It's easy to keep unique if you do no basic math. It's quite easy to read as well. So what I have here is I've added in a stored procedure that that generate computer names. And that's also available for download on my blog if you like it. But what it does is it simply looks the machine I'm deploying. Is it existing already or is it a new machine? If it already exists, it will do nothing. But if it's a new machine, it will just crank up and generate a new number and keep track of the existing number. So if I go back to my demo environment and run the simulation one more time, you will see that the computer name is still going to be PC81. So why didn't I get a new name? Because it's already known. It's already in the database. So I need to make it unknown. And I can make it unknown by going into the database. And for example, I could delete it, but I can also just change the MAC address to something else. Change the identifier. And also in here, I have a table called settings or machine name sequence. This is the one that keeps track of the current number, meaning the next should be 82, right? So now I don't have any machine in my database anymore, at least not known ones, the one I'm deploying. So I go back to that machine again, run the same script again. And this one, it's 82. It picked the next available number. And if I go back to my server, do a refresh, it will now be 82. So the next will be 83, 84, 85, and so forth. It will obviously also be injected into the database. I won't see it. And you can press F5 all day long. Nothing's going to happen. You need to click the database node. Click F5, go back, and you will see it. So this is the new machine. My store procedure only assigned a name. But if I wanted to, I can change it to also assign a description as well. But this one is currently empty. Now, what's the problem with the database? Well, if you have a well-connected network, life is good. But I'm now going to demonstrate my extreme Microsoft Paint skills. I'm really good, I promise. I have two kids. Imagine that you have a somewhat good connection between your sites. So you have a 4 megabit link and you see that the answer response times are typically really good, less than 300 milliseconds. So you will have a client down here. This is a client. And you have your, and you have your site server up here in another site, in a remote site. And that site server has a database. So this is a database. Nice. That's a database. What happens when you start a deployment is that the sequence will start to do its things. And when it's reading the gather part, that's when it's reading the inner file and starts to connect to the database to get the settings. And by default, in both LightTouch and ConfigMander, it will do that using named pipes. So it will use named pipes to connect to this database one way or another. It's basically a file copy operation because named pipes is not really a brand new protocol. It's like the Jurassic protocol of databases. It's really old. But it does that. So it's using named pipes to get that information. And in a well-connected network, that will work just fine. But what if? What if this network is not 4 megabit? What if it's 0.4 megabit? And what if you start to have latencies that on average are really high? I can tell you this database call will fail, no doubt. And for those of you that are known or know how to deal with connection strings, you know that you can increase the timeout in it. Will that help? No. You're toast. Or are you? If you have big networks, if you have poor links in between networks, don't use named pipes. It won't work. But what will work instead is changing this to two purple circles. That's a web service. So, in MDT and LightTouch, in LightTouch and Config Manager, you can very easily, let me get to the right one, call a web service in the same way you talk to a database. Because it does this out of the box. And to give you an example, here is the code required to call a web service. You need to specify the name of it. The back end does the rest. If you need to set a parameter to it, you can do that as well. The same as you did with the database. But the cool thing about the web service is, a web service is code running server-side, meaning you can do things you cannot do on client-side code. So for example here, if I go back to my the right machine, this is just a web service that does three methods or three things. One, it's reaching out into Active Directory to get a list of OUs. Again, I'm running code server-side, I can do things. I have one that is reaching into Config Manager to get me a list of sequences. But not all sequences, only sequences that are deployed to a specific collection in this case, all unknown computers. And I also have a method that allows me to move a computer from one OU to another during deployment, if I want to keep an existing computer name, for example. There are hundreds like this that you can download from CodePlex, ready-made web services, or, quite frankly, many of them come with source code. And a method in a web service is typically 25, 30 lines of code. And if you take an existing one, look at it, it doesn't take you that much work to actually create a new one from it. Creating from scratch, yeah, that's a challenge, but modifying existing code, easier. But anyway, a web service I can test on the server side. So I can verify that if I run it, I will do get the OUs from Active Directory. I can test my sequences and say, all right, it could read that the following sequences were deployed from Config Manager. And then I can do cool things. I can combine this with the LightTouch wizard for Config Manager, querying web service in the back end, and in this case, gives me some OUs and some sequences. And just for the record, this front end is calling a different web service than one I was showing you. So you still only have two, but still web services. But this is a very easy way, and it works in all types of networks. Because when we do this, we are changing name pipes into a much more resilient protocol. We are changing it to HTTP, which is really nice. Now, another thing I wanted to show you is, go back 1 minute. You can also call external scripts from an inner file. So just to give you that real quick, this is how you do it. If you have another script you want to call that does additional things, you just reference it. And then Config Manager is happily to use it. If I actually select the machine, it will be better. This is how you call it. Open the init file and reference the VB script. That's it. Another thing, if I go back to web services for a little bit, what you will like is that even if you don't like to write code, there is another utility available. In System Center, it's called Orchestrator. This is Lego version of web services. Because what you can do in here is that you can open up Orchestrator. Somewhere. And you can create a runbook. In this case, a runbook that only creates a text file. But I think you get the idea. Any type of runbook that you have, you can execute from a sequence. Because if I go to my MDT server or my Config Manager server, it doesn't matter. I can have a sequence that simply calls a runbook. So I'm just browsing them, and I'm selecting the runbook. And if I want to test this, I can go to a client, run the LightTouch script, and wait. It's coming. Select my orchestrator sample. It will execute a runbook, whatever it does, and hopefully return a success in the end. White color is good. It executed a runbook. And if I open up the server, my orchestrator server, I can see it did append a line to my text file. Because this is the current time. And that means I would like to encourage you to please fill in the evaluation. And thank you for coming. Have a great conference. Thank you, guys.